We don't say on Easter, Christ was risen or Christ was raised. We say Christ is risen. For we believe that Christ lives today, that Jesus is alive at the right hand of the Father. And we celebrate that resurrection power for our own lives. Our testimony is that death could not hold him. Our testimony is that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father to be an advocate for you and for me. And we this day have a helper in the Holy Spirit who resides in our hearts and lives within us to give us life and hope and freedom. We testify that Jesus is alive. Thanks be to God, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. In Peter's sermon in Acts 10, we hear a summary of the gospel message from the early church. Peter preaches this word, and he says in that preaching, "You yourselves know." He says, "We are witnesses." And he's not just talking about the disciples themselves. He's preaching at a time when people remember Jesus, when people experienced his power in healing and his power in teaching, when people know and maybe even saw him die on the cross. And then among those who were there were some of the 500 plus who saw the post-resurrected Jesus. They were witnesses. What Peter was proclaiming was known to be the truth by them from their own experience. And so he had to be on point. He had to be accurate as he told them. And what he told them also was that Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. And so when we say that Christ is risen and sits at the right hand of God, we understand that Christ is judge of the living and the dead. Now let's hear that carefully, because sometimes that can be terrifying. The one who died to provide the forgiveness for our sins is the one who judges. Thanks be to God, for he is gracious and merciful. He gives us new life in Christ. In our lesson for today in Colossians, it says that if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. If you have been raised with Christ. You see, that's our testimony on Easter Sunday. That's the proclamation of the resurrection. It's not only that Christ is risen, it's that we too have this promise of eternal life. It's that in Christ, our lives begin an eternal journey, even this very day. And so since we have been joined with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be joined with him in a resurrection like his. And that means this day we can lift our eyes. We can set our hearts on the things that are of God. We can focus on his love, his grace, his goodness, his faithfulness to us. We don't have to be overwhelmed by the darkness, by the doubt, by the uncertainty, by the unknown. For we have a known eternity. Oh, there's some definite twists and turns in the road from here to there. But we know where it is that we go. And when people die, we grieve. Our hearts break. On this day, when there are so many deaths around us, we grieve. When there are so many sick around us, we grieve. But we don't grieve as those without hope. We grieve as those with hope in the eternal promise and faithfulness of God. You see, death is no longer the end it has always claimed to be. For in the resurrection of Jesus, we see eternal possibilities. We see that the gate of death leads to eternal life. It is not the end. Now, we hear this story of Jesus in the four Gospels of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And very often we seek to sort of combine the stories to take the various perspectives and weave them together in the story that we think portrays the closest thing to the historical truth. But there's another element of this. It's called forensic authenticity. Forensic authenticity. It's rooted in this idea that in a courtroom, if you bring four different eyewitnesses to testify and their testimony is exactly the same, then you assume that they probably made it up. They probably collaborated together. They're in collusion to try to tell the story that they want to be told rather than to testify to the truth of what they saw. But in the four Gospels, what we see is four very different perspectives on what happened in the resurrection. Four different eyewitnesses sharing their account of what they remember happened. And quite honestly, they don't always line up. And so harmonizing those Gospels can be difficult. But it does bear witness to the truth that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That Jesus was a very real person who lived in the first century, who was sent by God to bring us hope and redemption, to bring us the kingdom of God, the rule of Christ in our world and in our lives. Today, though, our story is in the Gospel of Matthew. And I prefer to read each Gospel on its own, to let each Gospel tell its own story from that particular person's witness, from their experience that they remember, and from which they write their gospel. The Gospel of Matthew shares with us this amazing experience of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary going to the tomb. Jesus has died on the cross and been buried. The Sabbath has passed, and now they journey early in the morning to the tomb. And it's an overwhelming experience. Some of you, like me, may have experienced earthquakes in your lives. They're very disconcerting. They kind of throw you off balance, to use a bit of a pun there. Yeah, people in the congregation, I would hope they would laugh, but you're not here, so I hope you're laughing at home. It was an overwhelming experience. As they journey to the tomb, there's an earthquake, and it's that earthquake that supposedly moves the stone away from the entrance to the tomb. And we're told in the Gospel of Matthew that that earthquake happened because angels of the Lord descended. When the messengers of God showed up, it shook the world. And they said, "Do not be afraid." I remember the earthquakes I was in California when I was growing up and needing to be told, "Do not be afraid." I certainly don't understand the fear that must have accompanied the followers of Jesus as they made their way to the tomb, knowing that the soldiers were there, knowing that the authorities were stacked against them, knowing that they could possibly be arrested and punished. And yet the message from heaven is, do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. but he is not here, for he is risen. Jesus, in his preaching, preached about the coming of the kingdom of God. Jesus, in his death and resurrection, asserts still the authority of the kingdom of God. And I think there's a really fun dimension of what happens in the story of Matthew at the tomb. You see, there are soldiers there. They've been given authority to guard the tomb. Some of the movies that retell the story of Easter show the women encountering these soldiers, and they're gruff and they're in charge and they're demanding. But when the angels of the Lord show up, they are as dead men. Their authority is gone. And instead, what happens? The dead man is given authority. Those in authority are as dead. The one who is dead is raised and now sits at the right hand of the Father in authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. That's the testimony of the gospel of Matthew. What an amazing turn of events. That those who would stand against us as people of faith, that their authority is taken away. And that Christ has authority for our lives, to lead us, to guide us, to empower us, to transform us into his likeness. And then the word to the women is, come and see. Come and see so that you are a witness to this empty tomb, so that you are a witness to this overthrow of sin and death. Come and see, and then go and tell. Go and tell his disciples that it is as he said it would be, that Jesus has done the very thing he told you he would do, even though you didn't understand it and may have forgotten it. These two women are the first witnesses of the resurrection. Now, sometimes in this day and age in which we live, we're skeptical. I've never seen anybody raised from the dead. So, I wonder, could this story really be true? Maybe the disciples made it up. Is that possible? As a matter of fact, even in the Gospels themselves, they tell that the rumor went out from the soldiers who were guarding the tomb that the disciples came and stole the body. But what I want to say to you is there's a ton of different types of evidence that show that this was not a concocted story. This is not a story that was made up after the fact. This is the true story of the eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. We have some geographic evidence. That is, they have discovered through archaeology the tombs, the grave site that was there from the first century. And it is precisely where the gospel said it would be. There's also some cultural evidence in that. That is, that the type of burial that the gospel said would happen are now seen in the archaeological evidence that that's how bodies were buried. That's how graves were set up. If this was made up years later, they may not have known that reality. If this was set up years later, would they have known that the fence of the city of Jerusalem had been moved out and that now the grave was inside the fence rather than outside the fence of the first century? Probably not. And so what we find in this geographical and cultural evidence is that the story in the Gospels makes sense to the first century of Jesus' day. By the way, some of the things I'm talking about this morning, if you want to look closer at it, are spelled out really well by my friend Bob Wrongley and in his book, Recovering the Way. You can see the detail from the archaeological evidence in that book, and I encourage you to look at it. The other part of this is that it's a very unlikely conspiracy. That is, if someone were going to make up the story, they would never make it up like this. In the first place, they would never try to root a story in the witness of women. Because in that day, the testimony of women wasn't even accepted in court. As a matter of fact, in the Gospels themselves, when the women come and tell the disciples what happened, the disciples themselves think it was an idle tale. And yet, that's what happened. And so that's the story they tell. The disciples, the 12 disciples or the 11 disciples, were still hiding in an upper room, fearful and uncertain. And a part of what happens in the resurrection is that their lives are transformed into lives of courage and strength. You know, sometimes we make up stories. We tell lies. Sometimes we do it to try to hide from some of the truth of our past. Other times we do it in order to try to create a better future than our behavior or the truth would cause us to deserve. But this story and the actions that flowed out of this story for the eyewitnesses brought incredible pain. Most of the eyewitnesses of the resurrection, as they bore testimony to Jesus, suffered greatly, endured amazing poverty, and many died cruel deaths, were actually executed for their testimony. They weren't telling the story to get ahead. Their lives weren't transformed in order that they might prosper. Their lives were transformed because they had given themselves to serving the risen Lord, to bearing witness to the truth of the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ died so that we could experience the grace and love and mercy of God in our lives. The New Testament teaches that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is power available to us. As we celebrate Easter, not just today, but every day, one of the things we need to remember is that that power is available for us, that that transformation that began that first Easter and has transformed the world is not done yet, that Christ is still alive, that Christ is still at work in your life and in mine, and that we, as witnesses of the resurrection, and share the love of Christ, even if it means self-sacrifice, even if it means hardship. We bear testimony to the truth. We set our minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are below. One of the great songs of Easter we heard this morning, Christ is alive, let Christians sing. The cross stands empty to the sky. Let streets and homes with praises ring. Love drowned in death shall never die. Christ is alive, no longer bound to distant years in Palestine, but saving, healing here and now, touching every place and time. It is our hope as the church of the risen Christ, that we can experience the hope and power of the resurrected Lord in our day, in our time, in our relationships. As we look at our own lives and realize we need the forgiveness that Christ offers, as we look at the lives of others and realize that they need the forgiveness that Christ offers and also offers through us, and that we need one another to live together as the body of Christ at work in the world today to establish resurrection power and the kingdom of God. The power at work in us, in God's people, continues to change the world. Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection opens eternity for us and gives us an unyielding hope in the face of struggle and chaos and uncertainty. And in faith, we live in the hope and power that that eternity begins for us this very day and every day, no matter what comes. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Thanks be to God. Amen.